Our reading from the New Testament this evening will be found in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and we shall read from verse 4 to verse 18. While our Old Testament reading may not be a particularly well-known one, our New Testament reading is very well-known, because I want to read here the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils. We're going to read it as is recorded for us in Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Let us attend unto the word of God. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? He said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those who hear by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they that fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not come to be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him that shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Amen. I'm going to talk to each one of you this evening. I'm going to mention who you are, your nature and your character. And I'm not excluding myself from this. Because this evening I want us to look at how we listen to the Word of God. I know it's usual to take the parable of the sower and to look at the four soils that are mentioned in the passage. But tonight I want to combine our Old and our New Testament passages together, because they give us five different types of character and their response to the Word of God. And I believe that everyone here tonight falls into one of those five characters. And tonight I'm going to ask you to examine yourself and to listen to the Word of God and see how it applies to you and how you hear the Word of God. Maybe some of you, when you know the sermon begins, it's your took him to settle down. And hopefully after a while, it will be over. Don't do that tonight. I know there will be those who are the unresponsive soils. But tonight, do something different. Listen and hear what the Word of God says. Too often, we imagine we know the parable of the sower so well that when somebody begins to preach it, we settle down and we close our ears, even though we are Christians. And tonight I want you to listen as though you had never heard this parable preached on before, as though you had never heard of these soils. Because you and I need to listen to the Lord Jesus' question that we see at the end of this passage in Luke 18. Chapter 8 and verse 18 at the beginning. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And tonight I'm saying to you, take heed, therefore, how you hear. When you and I come to worship Sabbath by Sabbath, do we really come to worship God? Do we really come to listen to the preaching of the Word of God? Or do we come and we do not come with any real interest in what is being said or what is being preached or the passages of Scripture that are read? We can allow our minds to begin to wander as soon as we settle to hear the sermon. Are you here tonight out of habit? Is that why you've come? You never think about the services during the rest of the week. You never pray for your minister or those who preach the Word of God. You never pray that the Spirit will come and move in the midst of the congregation when the Word of God is preached. You don't do these things. Because ultimately you have no real interest in them. You think you know everything there is to know. Do you come to church expecting something to happen? Do you come to church expecting God to speak to you? Or do you think that He'll never speak to you? He'll never come in the service, and He'll never reveal Himself to you. I believe most people come to church, and they do not expect anything to happen. They don't expect to meet with God. Church has become part of their lives. It's become part of what they do and who they are in their own thinking. But they never really believe that God will speak to them. They never come saying, "Is this the day that the Lord will speak to my heart?" They come. They hear the words, but they do not listen to them. They do not think about them. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And maybe some of you young people, you're brought here because your parents bring you Sabbath by Sabbath. And you've already decided that I am going to bore you. You come Sabbath by Sabbath, already decided that your minister is going to bore you. And as soon as you come in, you switch off. You do not listen. You do not hear. Tonight, young people, I'm saying to you, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For one day you will be held to account for what you have heard in this church as the word of God is preached Sabbath by Sabbath. I don't think it's only the young people. Very often I think the older folks can come too, with the belief that they are going to be bored. The sermon is something which has to be endured. It is not something in which they expect a supernatural event to happen. But preaching is a supernatural event. A sermon delivered is not like a political speech delivered as they will be in the weeks ahead by Gordon Brown and David Cameron and the other politicians as they seek to win votes. When the word of God is preached, the Spirit of God is present. He is applying that word to the lives of those who hear it. God is working his purposes out tonight. He's working his purposes out through the words that I say. What did the prophet Isaiah say? He said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Have you realized what a spectacular thing it is to hear a sermon? It is God speaking to you. It is God working by his word in your life. And too many people come and they settle down and they do not listen. They're not interested. Oh yes, they come because it's their habit to come to church. They believe they should come. Maybe they come to please their wife, maybe they come to please their husband. But in reality, in their heart of hearts, they're not interested. And yet something wonderful is happening. The living God is here tonight. The men and women that are passing our churches, they see the signs. They see the lights. They wonder why we come here. It's because they are blind. They do not know. They do not understand that something wonderful is happening here tonight. That God is here, working out his purposes. And in his sovereignty and in his grace, he has brought you here and he has brought me here. And each of us need to take heed how we listen to the word of God. He's accomplishing his purposes, and it cannot fail. But that's no reason for us to deny our part. You see, so many people use the doctrine of divine sovereignty for laziness. They make no effort because of it. They say, well, if God is going to work out his purposes in this sermon, it doesn't really matter whether I listen to you, does it, Mr. Julie? If God's going to speak to me, well, he's going to speak to me whether I listen to you or not. So I might as well not bother listening to you. But the Lord Jesus says it's important how we hear. We are to apply ourselves in the listening of the word of God. You see, we often talk about the minister's duty to know what the word of God teaches, the minister's duty to bring the word of God to us. But there's a duty to the hearer and the pew, and that duty is to listen. You know, there's nothing worse than getting up and preaching in some places and you think, well, I could be standing here reading from the Belfast Telegraph for all the good that it does. Because the people are not listening. They have lost the sense of vocation and importance, and they have lost the sense of privilege that we have when the Word of God is preached. We have a duty, and that duty is to listen. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. How do you listen to the Word of God? And in these two passages we have read, we're going to look this evening, God willing, at five different hearers. Firstly, there is the indifferent hearer. Secondly, the impulsive, emotional hearer. Thirdly, the preoccupied hearer. Fourthly, the selective hearer. And finally, and fifthly, the fruitful hearer. The first is the indifferent hearer. The indifferent hearer. And they are pictured as that wayside soil. And the idea here is of a field divided into different strips. This was the way they farmed. And this soil was the soil that was used as the pathway between each different strip. The farmer would come, and he would come along, and maybe his strip was halfway down the field. And so he would walk along the path, and then he would walk down the length of his strip. And over the years, this parcel of ground had become beaten down by the many feet that had trodden on it. And over the years, when seed had fallen into it, the soil wasn't broken up, the seed could not sink into the soil, and it was very easy for the birds to come and to eat the seed. The birds undoubtedly followed the sower as he sowed, and the seed that fell on this wayside pathway would have been easily eaten up. It was a picture that those who heard the Lord Jesus would have known for themselves. It was a picture from everyday life. And it's this picture of our hearts as being so cold and so dead that the Word of God lies on its surface and Satan comes and snatches it away. And maybe you are like that this evening. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. You have no intention of listening. You hear the words, but you do not listen to them, and you do not think about them. Your mind is far away. You do not consider that anything I may say or anything your own minister may say is of any importance in your life. You think the sermon has no relevance to how you live your life, how you deal with other people, and your relationship with God. You're not interested in the Word of God. You're not interested in the truth. You sit there and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. R.C. Trench, the commentator, had this to say of indifferent hearers. He says, he does not recognize himself as standing in any relation to the Word or to the kingdom of grace which that Word proclaims. Or to put it in other words, it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with my life. Is that how you listen? The sermon is something which is to be endured. It doesn't really matter to you what is said up here. It doesn't really matter to you what is read from up here. Your own pastor could come next week and read from the works of Shakespeare, and it would just be the same to you as the reading of a Bible and the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe nice. Maybe a good preacher. Maybe skills in presentation. Because there are people capable of making great speeches. They have great presentation skills. Recently, Michael Foot, the former leader of the Labour Party, died, and Michael Foot was one of the greatest speakers I had the privilege of hearing. He was a fantastic man at delivering a speech. I would have travelled 100, 200, 150 miles to hear Michael Foot deliver a speech. He was brilliant. And maybe that's why you come. Maybe you say, the Reverend Mr. Silverside, he's a brilliant preacher, and I like to hear men of ability speak, and so you come and you listen. But you're not really concerned that the Word should ever reach into your life. You're not really concerned that the Word will challenge your thoughts and your way of behavior. As long as you have heard a good speech, well delivered, you are satisfied. But my friends, this is the Word of God. This is a message that comes from heaven. This isn't the opinions of men. Michael Foot may have been a brilliant speaker, but in the opinions on the great matters of the day, he was wrong. He had the opinions of a man. And those opinions and those principles, when they were brought into government, ran this country into the ground. You see, it's not brilliance of ability, it's not brilliance of speech, it's content that is important. And here we have the greatest content of all. We have the living Word of God. And it means nothing to you. You're indifferent to it. It's of no concern to you. You just can't be bothered to make the effort to listen. Mark well the words of Jesus Christ when he says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, because one day you will stand before him and he will want an account of how you have heard his word." You see, the Word of God concerns you because the Word of God judges you. In Revelation, the Lord Jesus has spoken of as having a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And in the letter to the church of Pergamon, the Lord Jesus speaks to himself as being the one who has the two-edged sword. And what is the sword? It's the sword, the symbol of his authority. It's the sword of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus uses this word to judge. He is the authority to judge. He says, "The Father hath given judgment unto me." And you, one day you will stand before Jesus Christ and he will lay your life to the touchstone of this book and its teaching. And in that day your indifference will be shown forth. It comes to you from God as the rule of life. It comes with the authority of the living God himself. And you can't be bothered to listen. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Secondly, I want us to look at the impulsive hearer. The impulsive hearer. And the Lord Jesus says there are those who will be emotionally affected
by the word of God. They think, yes,
I must do something, I must change my life. They're very full of good intentions.
But a good night's sleep puts that out of their mind. There used to be a book of cartoons about church life which summed up the impulsive hero very well. Its title was, It Will Be Okay by Tuesday. Why was it okay by Tuesday? Well, the effect of the sermon would have worn off by Tuesday. I'd still be there on Monday, but by Tuesday you could be well safe. Mark Lloyd-Jones speaks of a man who came to see him and said, you know, doctor, if you had only given a call last night, I would come and I would have responded and I would have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Dr. Mark Lloyd-Jones said to him, come now and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, not. He said, had it been last night, I would have, but not today. Martin Lloyd Jones says it wasn't God working in his heart, because if God had been working in his heart, then it could not have been dismissed in 24 hours. You see, sometimes we can get our emotions mixed up and we can get involved in what is being said. It happens to us all the time. It happens to people at football matches. It happens to people as they read books. And they say, watch films. Which of you have not watched a film or a television program or been reading a book and you've got really involved in the action? You've struggled with a hero. Your heart is sunk when he's fallen into the hands of his enemies. Sit there, you're great. How will you get out? Will you escape? You keep watching or you keep turning the pages. You've got to know what happens. And you're wrapped up in it. It becomes your world. You feel every blow that the hero takes as though it were directed against you. Your heart breaks when one by one his companions are killed and he's left alone to face the great odds. And at the end, you've cheered when he's triumphed over his enemies. You've laughed, you've cried. You've rejoiced at every single moment of the movie or the book. And then the lights go up in the cinema, the credits roll, or you finish the book. Or the famous words are uttered, make me a cup of coffee. And you go in and you make the cup of coffee, or you leave the cinema and you walk down and suddenly you realize you can't remember where you parked your car. The car parks are so big. And it all goes. There's none of that emotion left. It all disappears. And there are so many people, and that's how they listen to the word of God. They leave the church determined to do something, determined to make a new standing for God. But then ordinary life intervenes. They're doing something for a few days, and then suddenly the cost of obedience comes. It becomes difficult to follow in that particular way. It may mean difficulty with the neighbors, because you were used to doing with them things that were sinful and things that were wrong. Or maybe you go into work and the other people around you at work, they do not follow the Christian way, and they begin to make a mockery of your determination to live a godly, righteous, and a sober life. And slowly but surely, because this has just been an emotion, it dies and it passes away. And a week or 2 weeks or 3 months or 4 months down the line, It's as though you never heard. It's as though you never listened. Because it's pure emotion. And emotions pass. They must. You can't live in an emotional state. If you do, your mind will eventually crack. And you just go back to living as you've always lived until the next time. And that's how you listen to the Word of God. You listen to it, and it affects you emotionally, but you never, ever give it serious thought or consideration. You're never determined to know how you will let God deal with you. You're happy of the thought of God dealing with you. You're delightful when it comes to the nitty-gritty. When it comes to God demanding something of you, at that point you say, no. I will no longer go on with this. Because it is painful, and it is sore, and it is hard. And what you do is you allow your sins and your self-comfort to drown the voice of the Word of God, and you give up because you're depending upon that rush to keep you going. You're dependent upon that emotional excitement. And when the Christian life comes to a nitty-gritty living of it out, day in and day out in the world, where maybe you're the only Christian, where the things you stand for are the complete opposite of those of whom you work and with whom you live. At that point it becomes hard and it becomes difficult. And you give up. Are you that impulsive hearer? Take heed therefore how ye hear. And the third hearer I want to notice, not us to note tonight, is the preoccupied hearer. The preoccupied hearer. And there's a difference with the preoccupied hearer. The preoccupied hearer is determined to do something about it. But he allows the rest of life to cry the opportunities out. He will do something about the Word of God, but there's a few things in his life he's got to get ready first of all. He's in the position of that person who came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, let me follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. Now, had his father died, it was unlikely that he would have been out listening to the Lord Jesus. So what does it mean? Well, what he was saying, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you, but first of all, I have a few responsibilities in life. I can't quite at the minute leave my home and my work and my family responsibilities as these 12 disciples of yours have done, but I need some time to do that. I need time to discharge my duty, because the most sacred duty that a Hebrew son had to his father was to ensure his father was buried properly. So he's saying, I have duties that I need to attend to. And once I have got these duties sorted out, then I will come and follow you. And that's this preoccupied hearer. He wants to do something, but he looks round at his life and he says, I have too much to do in my life. I've got things to sort out at work. I've got things to sort out at home. And once I get those things sorted out, then I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I will listen to him, believe in him, to the saving of my soul. But at the present minute, I've got too much to do. You know, the reorganizing work with the credit crunch. There are so many of us who have been sacked that those of us who are left, well, we have more work to do than normal. I'm bringing it home. I have no time, really, at this present minute to worry about applying the Word of God in my life now. I've really got to get this crisis at work sorted out, this crisis at home sorted out, and once I've got that sorted out, then I'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how you hear the Word of God? Is that your response to the Word of God when it comes to you, when it challenges you, and you know that you must listen to it, you know you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you turn around and say is, not today. I'm just too busy. There is too much in my life that I must sort out. And once I have got that sorted out, then I will come and then I will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got my health to sort out. I've got my wealth to sort out. I've got my future to sort out. I have the future of my children to sort out. I have the future of my work to sort out. And slowly but surely, they allow things that are legitimate in themselves to crowd out the Word of God and the place of the Word of God in their life. There's probably very many preoccupied hearers here tonight. Men and women who intend to do something when the time is right. My friends, the devil will never make you think that the time is right. There'll always be some problem that you've got to sort out before you can give your full attention to Christ and to Christianity. And you know what happens? Time ticks on, and your heart grows harder and colder, and these other things become more important. And the day comes when you die, and you're carried to your grave. And instead of there being in the soil of your heart the fruit of the Word of God, there are thorns and there are thistles, because you have neglected the important things and you have done the urgent things. I remember hearing a man, he said he got down in the morning and he used to draw up a line for the day of important things and urgent things. And he says, I did the important things because 9 out of 10, the urgent things were never important. And you're letting the important thing go. You're letting your soul go. Why? Because you're concerned with the urgent. You're concerned with normal life. And you never realize that your eternal life is more important than this life that will come to an end. It doesn't matter who you are. One day you will die. One day. This will happen in Whitehead. They will go into the paper shop and they will say, did you hear the news? What news? James Julie died last night. He'd been ill, hadn't been ill for long. But that will be the news in Whitehead. And do you know what will happen? People say, oh, you mean that odd man who used to live up Balmoral Avenue, used to go about with a stick? You wouldn't have a Mars bar, would you? And that'll be it. But I'll be dead and gone. And the things that have concerned me and worried me in life will be no more. There's nobody who'll be able to reach down into that grave and trouble me. But one, the living and true God, will reach down into that grave and he will call me to account. And in those days, in that day when I stand before him, he will ask me what I have done with the important things of life. What have I done with the word of God? And he will do the same with you. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said this. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" All the wealth, all the power, the might of this world are not compared to your soul. If tonight the United Nations were to decree that you were to become the ruler of the world, that all the money and power in the world were to be yours, it would not be worth the price of your soul. And where are you selling your soul? I'll tell you where you're selling your soul. You're selling your soul in the 50p bin outside the pawn shop or the bargain bookshop of life. Because you are allowing the urgent things, the things concerning this life, to crowd out the word of God. And your heart is dying. My friends, are you a preoccupied hearer? Preoccupied with the ordinary things of life? And you're letting these kill your intentions to follow the living God. Stop letting the things of this world so preoccupy you that you miss out on the true wealth that is to be found in Christ. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. The fourth thing I want us to note tonight is the selective hearer. The selective hearer. And this is where we refer to our Old Testament reading. All such wonderful words that come and they say to Jeremiah, "Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do." And in verse 5, "Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true witness, a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us." And the word comes. 10 days later, the response comes. Verse 19, "O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt." And what do we find? These men who have come and have said to Jeremiah, "We will listen to whatever message comes to us from Jehovah through you. The word of Jehovah we will do. Whether it is good, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of Jehovah our God, to whom we shall send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of Jehovah our God." And the word comes, "Do not go into Egypt." And what do we find they say? Look at verse 2 of chapter 43. "Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neariah setteth thee on against us
For deliver us into the hands of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away into Babylon.
Oh, so we're not to go into Egypt. We know where this comes from, don't we, Jeremiah? You were allowed by the Babylonians, weren't you, to decide whether you stayed here or you went into exile? Babylonians seemed to have a great opinion of you, Jeremiah. And here's Baruch. Oh yes, you're a little scribe. You're the prophet, and Baruch, he's the little man scribbling your words down. Ah, but we know that he's really the big cheese behind it. He's the man giving you your revelations. And the pair of you've always been in the pay of Babylon. You've always been saying the day is coming when the Babylonian army will destroy Jerusalem. Oh yes. You took Nebuchadnezzar's shilling. And you're telling us to stay here so that your Babylonian friends can come and cut our throats. Well, we're having none of it. We know what God would say, and he would say, go back to Egypt. And so they took everybody and they went into Egypt. They were selective hearers. They had decided in advance what they would accept as the word of God and what they would not accept as the word of God. And maybe you're a selective hearer. You've decided in advance what you will accept and what you will not accept from the preaching of the Word of God or from the Bible. And when your minister comes and he brings the Word of God to you, you sit there and you sit in judgment on the Word of God. You say, well, I don't really like that. I don't like that opinion. Therefore, I'll reject it. Oh, I like that. Yeah, I could fit that into my life. I'll take that up. And you select what you will believe and what you will not believe. You select what you will listen to and what you will not listen to in the preaching of the Word of God. You're like these men. You come here, when we come to church, we sit and we say with our bodies, we will listen to the Word of the Lord our God. But you only listen if you like what you hear. You only listen if it fits in with your preconceived ideas. And if the Word of God comes and it challenges you, you don't listen anymore. You say, we're not going to listen. We're not going to have this. You're a selective hearer. You're the attitude of these Judeans. You will not accept the Word of God. When that word challenges you, when that word rebukes you. Is that how you hear? Weighing up the Word of God, not to see if what the minister says is in accordance with the Scriptures, but whether you like it or you don't. When the Word of God comes, it's not like picking a sofa. I like that one, I don't like that one. It comes to challenge us in the very basics of our lives. It comes to us as a message from the throne of Jehovah himself. And you and I are to obey it. Because he knows best. He is the all-knowing, all-wise God. And he knows what is best. And his word is always right. Its teachings are always correct. And you and I, we select what we want. My friends, do not be selective hearers. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And fifthly, then, the fruitful hearer. The fruitful hearer. And this is the hearer we must be. The one who comes and who says, Lord, I know at times the word will come and it will be difficult and it will be hard.
that the word would challenge me in my thoughts and my way of life. But Lord, I will put it into practice, and I will look for your strength to help me in those days when the going will be difficult, when there will be suffering maybe because I'm standing up for the right. Don't let me be one an impulsive hearer and at that point abandon the word. Don't let me, O Lord, be one of those preoccupied hearers that will allow the legitimate things of life to crowd out the word of God in my life. And don't let me be a selective hearer, Lord, but I'll take only what fits in with my notion and what doesn't. Give me the grace always to walk in your ways, to listen to your word. Every one of us here tonight should be a fruitful hearer. But there are many times we have not been fruitful hearers, and we need to come in repentance and in faith again to say to God, forgive me for the times I have not listened to your word as I should. I have not taken heed how I have heard. You see, God calls us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ in our characters and our attitudes. And the only way we can do that is as we listen to the word of God, as we listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is by listening to his word, it is by heeding his word, it is by living by his word that we grow in grace and that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Paul tells us what the fruit of the Spirit are in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is the character that you and I should be showing. And we show this character as we listen to the word of God, as we allow it to sink into our hearts, as we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, that the fruit is brought forth. You and I, my friends, are called tonight to take heed to how we listen to the word of God. For some of you tonight, that means you have to begin at the very beginning. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. For many of us, it means going back and saying to God, we have not taken heed how we have heard. We have let other things become more important to us than your word and your truth. I do not care how long you have sat in the pews of this church, and I do not care how long I have listened to sermons or I have preached sermons. You and I alike need to take heed how we listen to the word of God. Are you a fruitful hearer? Are you determined to live a Christian life? To live as God calls you to live in his word? Do you strive to listen to his voice and to obey? Or are you one of those selective hearers? You pick and choose. Maybe you're one of those preoccupied hearers. You're going to get round to it eventually, but there's just too much on in your life at the minute to get really down to getting serious with God. Once you've sorted all the other problems out, then you'll have time. Maybe you're the impulsive hearer, or you'll bounce out determined to do something, but by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, or the time you face problems at family and at work, well then, the bounce is gone. my friends, carrying on when the bounce is gone is very often what the Christian life is about. Or maybe you're an indifferent hearer. You've sat there tonight and you do not care a single word about what I have said. It's gone in one ear and out the other. You're not interested. Oh, my friends, God is interested in you. You may not be interested in his word, but he is interested in your attitude to his word. My friends, let each of us today contemplate the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, and let us hear with fruitful hearts. Let us say, as Samuel said of old, speak, for thy servant heareth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, conscious that we have not always been proper hearers of your word. We have at times been indifferent hearers. We have let our usual habit of listening to the word of God, when we come to church Sabbath by Sabbath, sink over the years into indifference. We no longer listen as intently as once we did, because ultimately, O God, we do not care what is said, because it was no interest to us. Sometimes we are only interested if we are excited and bouncing around, as it were. And when the realities of life come in, when it proves difficult to live the Christian life, we abandon it. We are impulsive hearers. Forgive us the time when we've been preoccupied here. Is we know what we should do, but we keep putting it off because there are urgent things to be done, and we have neglected the important thing, to know you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for the time we have been these hearers. Forgive us for the times, O Lord, we are selective hearers. We pick and choose between your word. Give us the grace to be fruitful hearers, that we may walk when it is difficult. We may obey when it is hard. And we may bring glory to Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.